You should have. Names and Titles of God, Names of God, Old Testament Part 1, Lesson 1. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. And what I want you to do in this study is I want you to begin to notice some things about what God is called. Because too often we just say, what's God's name? We'll say, well, God's called God, and God's called Jesus, and God's called the Lord. I mean, you can just start thinking of a few names, but there's all kind of things. And this is a great study because we realize that the names in the Bible actually mean something. Not only do people's names mean something, but God's names mean something. And so we want to know God. Not only do we want to know God for salvation, but we want to know Him in a personal way. We want to know His character and what He's like. And so this morning we begin looking at that. And so raise some questions before we pray. Here's some questions. What does God call Himself? Because He calls Himself. He says, this is the name by which I will be known. What does that mean? What is His name? And think about this. As many as received Him, to them gave the right to become what? Children of God, even those who believed on His... What does it mean to believe on His name? What does all this mean? And what about the names of God? How does it fit together? And the next slide, I think, says something like, from the names that we see God called in the Bible, we can see the character of God, His person and His work. Names tell us a lot of things about God. And so in these next few weeks, and if you've got some friends that maybe haven't been coming to Sunday school, invite them to come, because this is some really good stuff. And there'll be some things you'll see that you may have never seen before. There'll be some things that you'll be able to put together, and you'll say, well, no wonder. I mean, you ever thought about when Jesus is walking on the earth, and there was a time, let me just tell you this story. You remember the story as Jesus is going through Jericho, and there's these two blind guys. One of them's named Bartimaeus. And they heard this commotion, and Bartimaeus says, what's going on? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. And what did Bartimaeus say? Oh, Son of David, have mercy on us. Why did he call Jesus Son of David? What does that have to do with anything? And you know what's amazing? When Jesus heard him say that, he stopped and went over and actually called for the guy. Okay, so what is this name, Son of David? Why was he called that? You ever thought about what Jesus is called? Sometimes He's called the Son of Man. What does that mean? He's sometimes called the Lamb of God. He's sometimes called Jesus. He's sometimes called the Christ. And so we're going to see a whole bunch of things, not only tied in with Jesus, but God and everything else. So there's some good things. So let's start with prayer, and then we'll get into the study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank You, Lord, for our church. Thank You for the privilege we have of coming together to study the Bible. Thanks for Sunday school and so many people who come. And thank You for this body of believers and Your grace to us. And Lord, we just thankful for what You've done for us. First of all, You've allowed us to have a place to meet. And we get to meet here, and we get to meet at the community center, and we thank You for that. And then, Lord, You've allowed us to be building a place to meet, another place. And we're so excited about that, Lord. Thank You for all the people who give so much so that we can have that building and that we can exist every month. And we just thank You for the faithfulness of these people. Lord, we ask You that as we look into the Bible and we see Your names, what You call Yourself, how You're listed in the Scripture, that it would open up to what it means and what it tells us about You. And Lord, we want to know You in a way beyond just knowing You for salvation. We want to know You in the Christian life way. We want to know You and the power of Your resurrection and the fellowship of Your suffering. We want to know You, Lord. So we just ask You to teach us now, Lord, as we think about Your names. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You notice how we ended that prayer? In what? Jesus' name. There's a reason, and we'll talk more about it. Go ahead and look at Psalm 8. Psalm 8. It's a short psalm. If your Bible's like mine, it'll have something like the Lord's glory and man's dignity. And then it has some little writing that usually says something like this. For the choir director on the githeth, a psalm of David. The githeth is an instrument. It was some kind of instrument, some kind of plucked instrument, some kind of stringed instrument, whatever it was. And so this was a song that David made up. This is a song. So when you see psalms, we just think that they're little things in the Bible. No, these are songs that they sang. So here's a song that David wrote. And he says, we could say it like this. This is a song for the guitar. This was a kind of a string things. And so it's a psalm of David. Now what I want you to notice is look at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. We have a song, don't we? O Lord, O Lord, how majestic. Okay, but here's what I want you to think. I'll sing more later, but anyway, it says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens." He starts out, what is he saying? How majestic is your what? Your name. So we're starting with name. Now, I want you to notice something. He says, "O Lord," really it's "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name." Now, I want you to notice something. Look at the first line. What does it say? "O Lord, our Lord." There's two different names there. Have you noticed? Look at this. Go to the next slide, I think. There's a word "Lord," and if you notice, in the first one, all capitals, L-O-R-D, all capitals, right? And then the second one has a capital L and a little O-R-D, right? And if you knew, like Hebrew, you would say, wait a minute, the L-O-R-D, all capitals, is a Hebrew word, Y-H-W-H. We try to pronounce it Yahweh, but nobody knows exactly how to say it because they didn't say the word. It was the personal name of God, and they wouldn't say it. We're going to talk more about that later. So this is the personal name of God, and so Lord, Yahweh. And then it says, "O Lord, our Lord," and it's a different word. It's a capital. We got a capital L, little O-R-D. That's a Hebrew word, Adonai, which means master. It means God. It means the ruler. And so he begins by saying, "O Lord," personal name of God, "our Lord, master of all, how majestic is your name in all the earth." So you may have never, when you read that, realized that David starts off by calling God two different names. And we're going to talk about it as we go through it. This is the personal name of God. This is the majestic name of God. This is the ruling name of God. And then if you notice down at verse 3, he says, "When I consider the heavens, the works, the creation." In verse 3, he says, "You're the creator of everything." We're going to talk more about that when we start the Hebrews chapter 11 pretty soon. And he says, "The works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you ordained." And then in verses 4 through 8, basically, he talks about man. He says, "What is man that you took care of him? You made him lower than angels. You made him rule over the works of your hands. You put all things, you know, all that stuff." And then look again at verse 9. "O Lord," what? "Our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." I want you to think about in the Bible, and maybe from this point on, we'll start looking at the name. Because whoever believes in his name, how majestic is your name. Names in the Bible mean something. They're just not like calling somebody Ralph. It means something. And when we think about God's name, we say the name of Jesus is the name above all what? All names. And that at the name of Jesus, what's going to happen? Every knee will bow. And in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no other. There is no other name under heaven among men by which we might be saved. And as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. It's always name. So once you start thinking, okay, what do we mean the name? Because if you look at the verse, the thing right there, what does it say? The personal God. The personal name of God. In fact, we're going to see in a little bit, this name means eternal. It means ever existing. And so if you said, "O Lord, our Lord," you're saying the ever existing personal God who is the master and ruler of all. That's what those two names mean going together. That's how David starts the psalm. When we think about names, they're all important. It marks people out. If I said the name Eric, I can think of two or three people right here in our church that are named Eric. If you said Joe, there's other names. If you said Sally, there's other names. If you said, when you start naming names, you go, "Oh, that's my name," or "That's my brother's name," or "That's my friend's name." And when you're walking somewhere and somebody says, "JB," you know they're talking to you, that you, it marks you out. Names in the Bible are special. Think about this. I'm going to just give you a few just for you to think about. The name Adam comes from Adamah, from dirt. Because God created him from where? From the dirt of the ground, from the dust of the ground. And so God actually called him Adamah, Adam, which means dirt. And then you've got Eve, which that wasn't her name. She wasn't named till after the fall. And the name Eve means mother of living. Because see, after the fall, they were dead. And then when they believed in the coming Messiah with the picture that God gave them through killing of the animal, she became the mother of all living. Abraham. The name Abram means big daddy. The name Abraham means father of many nations. And God changed his name. He said, you've been called high father or big daddy, but now I'm going to call you father of many nations. The name Isaac means laughter. Because when God came to them and said, you're going to have a baby, Sarah's going to be 90 years old and she's going to have a baby, and Abraham, you're going to be 100 years old and you're going to have a baby, they both laughed. But she laughed on the other side of the tent, and God looked at her and said, why are you laughing? She said, I didn't laugh. He said, yeah, you laughed. And so they call that baby what? Laughter. Isaac. And Jacob. When Jacob comes out, Jacob means deceiver. It means to grab by the heel. Because when Jacob came out, he was grabbing his brother's heel. And Jacob was a deceiver most of his life. He tricked people. He tricked his brother. He tricked his father. He tricked a lot of people. Until God changed him. And when God changed him, he said, I'm going to change your name. You're no longer going to be called Jacob. You're going to be called Israel, Prince of God. So names are important, and to speak the name of God is telling us who he is. The name of God reflects his character and his description and all of these things. Think about this. I will call upon the name of the Lord, and I will be delivered from my enemies. Call upon the name of the Lord? In John 17, let me read this to you. You can stay right there for a second. Listen to this. This is John 17. This is Jesus speaking. This is called his high priestly prayer. He's praying to the Father. And he says this, O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. He's talking to his guys. Then he says, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love which you have loved me may be in them. And he says, I've made known to them your name. So names mean something. In fact, names mean a lot. When Moses at the burning bush, we're going to see it later on in the study this morning, he asked God what his name is. He says, you're asking me to go back to the elders of Israel in Egypt and tell them you have sent me. What if they say, what's his name? Who is it that told you to come? What is your name? He actually asked God, what's your name? Anybody remember what the name was? I am. I am who I am. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So we'll see the names of God. Let me give you the goal of the study. Okay, here's the goal. That we would know and understand the various names of God. If you don't have to write this whole thing down. If there's a space to write it, you don't need to do that's a lot of writing. But just listen to this. Our goal is that we would know and understand the various names of God, both Old Testament and New Testament. And when I say names, I'm talking about names, titles, everything. That we'd be able to put that together. That we would then be able to grow in our understanding, our appreciation, and our worship of God as we know him better. See, when we start saying we know his names, we're saying we know what he's like. We know he's the eternal God. We know he's the true God. We know he's the Savior God. We know he's, we can call upon the name of the Lord and I'll be delivered from my enemies. And so we're going to see that. So we're going to look at the calling and the titles and the emphasis, and we're going to look at Old Testament and New Testament and prophecies and all those kind of things. We're going to see a lot of different things as we go through it. In fact, we're even going to see some names of God in for eternity. What's he going to be called for eternity? Now, before we get into it, have you ever heard the name Jehovah? We say Jehovah God, right? Sometimes we say Jehovah Jireh. And there's a whole group of people who call themselves what? Jehovah's Witnesses. And what's so amazing is the name Jehovah is not even in the scripture. Some of our Bibles actually translate a word Jehovah, but there is no such word or name as Jehovah. But I'll tell you where it came from. We won't see it this morning, but we'll see it next week. Where did this name come from, and why do we say Jehovah God? Where does it fit? Okay, so we'll see it. Let's start with the Old Testament, okay? I want to turn my page here so I can kind of make sure y'all fill out what you're supposed to fill out, that I'm not going too fast and leaving some things out. We're going to look at five things, five names, and we're starting Old Testament now. Five names, or five, when I say five things, because it's not all five different names. Let me just show you some things. We're going to look, first of all, at the name God in the Old Testament. And you don't have to write all this down, but there's El and Elohim, and I'll tell you what that means and why. And then we're going to look at the name Lord, and it's a capital L with a little O-R-D. That's the name Adonai. Then we're going to look at the name that is translated L-O-R-D, all capitals. That's the name Y-H-W-H, Yahweh. Then we're going to look at some combinations of the name El, because there's like El Shaddai, El Elon, you know, and we're going to see those are names that God says God, and he puts another name with his name and he puts it together. And then we're going to see some names connected with YHWH, like YHWH Jireh, which means God will provide. And we're going to see how that fits. So it's going to take just a little bit as we go through the Old Testament. It'll take us this week and next week, and we're going to see those names. And what we'll do this morning is we're going to look at the first three names, the name God, the name Lord, and the name Lord, all capitals. And we're going to see what they are. Then next week, we'll look at the combinations, okay? And if we get through early, which we might, you can ask questions, you can do anything. You can ask questions as we go through it. I just want to make sure we do finish the lesson this morning if we can. Let's start with the main name, or a name. Okay, here's the first one. It's God, okay? In the Bible, you read, in the beginning, what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and they'll say, oh God, or this and this and this. The word God, El, is the Hebrew word El, E-L, and it's singular for God. But then there's another name that's translated all the time, Elohim, which is also Hebrew, but it's plural. Now, let's think about this name. The word El is all throughout the Bible. It's over 250 to 300 times in the Old Testament. It's a singular form. So when you say God, if you said in Hebrew and you were speaking and you said, I saw a God, and you meant any kind of God, you would say, I saw a El, I saw a El. And it just means God. It can be, this word can be used for the true God, like our God. It could also be used for any false gods, like the god Molech, which the people worshipped. You know, they would say, there is the god El Molech. Okay? So this word can mean a real God, true God, or a false God. Okay? The second aspect of it is the word Elohim, which is plural. See, in Hebrew, you put like an I-M on the end of a word, and it makes it plural. We are studying what book on Sunday morning? What? Esther. And there's a casting of lots, and they cast a lot, and it was called what? Pur. But it was casting of lots, and so it's called what? Purim. So you add the I-M on the end. It's plural in Hebrew. So pur means lot. Purim means lots, and that's why they call it the Feast of Purim, because it's the casting of lots. This is El, singular. This is Elohim, which is plural for God. This word is used over 2,500 times in the Old Testament as the name of God, and almost every time it's the true God. Now, you notice I said something. This says it's what? Plural. Genesis 1:1. How does it translate? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That word is Elohim. It's plural. We could have translated it, in the beginning, God's created the heavens and the earth. But that's not how we translate it. In fact, this Hebrew word Elohim is used over 2,300 times for the name of the true God. Okay? But it's plural. Why would it be plural? Why would the name that we say, there is the Lord God, and it's the word Elohim? Why wouldn't we say Lord gods? Why don't we translate it plurally? There's a reason, okay? First of all, it's the idea of majesty. In the Hebrew mind, when they said God, and they're talking about the true God, they didn't just say El, they said Elohim. It was an idea of plural of majesty, saying that this God, our God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, is the great God. But there's also something else there, which I have on the slide as well. There's an aspect of Trinity. Because there's one God in what? In three persons. There's the what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you a question. How many gods? One God in what? Three persons. Many believe that the reason God, our God, translated his word, and the Jewish people, when they wrote down what God gave them, that he translated it Elohim, is because it's going back to the idea of God, one God in what? Three persons. And if you look at Deuteronomy, hear, oh, hear, Lord, the Lord, our God is what? One God, but that's a word for one cluster. It's the word ahad in Hebrew, which means one cluster. If I had a grape, I would say, this is a grape. But I might hold it up and say, here, in Hebrew, this would be grape, but it'd be grape cluster. And when people look, he says, hear, O hear, Israel, the Lord your God is one cluster God. Okay? And that's kind of what we think he's doing in Genesis 1:26. And God said, what did God say in Genesis 1:26? Let us make man in our image. Who is us? And God said, Elohim, let us, plural, make God in our, plural, image. You ever realize that when God is speaking in Genesis 1 about creating man, it's plural there, and it even says, let us make man. How many gods? One God in three persons. So when you see Elohim, and Jewish people look at Elohim, and they don't go gods, they go God, but we're talking about the God. Now, you talk to a Jewish person today, and you start talking to them about the Trinity, they have a little trouble with it because they don't want to think that Jesus is actually God. And so they might say, well, yeah, there is a spirit. There is the spirit of God. But we don't know about Jesus. But there is one God in three persons. You think about it. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim, that's the Father. Verse 2 says, and the Spirit of the Lord was on the face of the deep. That's the Holy Spirit. And then later on, especially in the Old Testament, there's a place in Proverbs 30 where the writer says, what is God's name and what is his son's name? Proverbs 30. So when people want to say there's only one God in the Old Testament, there's all three gods, all three aspects of God all the way through it. Okay? So that's the name, first name. Here's the second name, the word Lord. And just remember, it's a capital L, and little O-R-D. So when you look in your Bible, now this is Old Testament. This is not New Testament. So anytime you're reading the Old Testament and you see a capital L and a little O-R-D, it is the word Adonai. And it means Lord. It means master. It means God. It has the idea that this is the supreme ruler of all things. And this is the one that he's a sovereign one. It's the idea that this God decides what happens. So, you remember Psalm 8, O Lord, L-O-R-D, all capitals, our L, little. He says, O Lord, personal God, our sovereign ruler God. So when you see names, begin to think about, is there a point to be made? Let me throw this out to you just to show you why it's important. You remember we said sometimes you'll read the New Testament and somebody like Paul will say Jesus Christ, and sometimes he'll say Christ Jesus. Why do they say Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus? Because he's making a point with the names. When he says Jesus Christ, the emphasis is on the first name Jesus and his emphasis on his humanity. When he says Christ Jesus, the emphasis is always on the first name and it's emphasizing his deity. And so look at the passage and when he talks about it. So that's why it's important that when you're studying the Bible and when you're looking at truths about God, you begin to say, wow, this is the name El, little O-R-D. This is the name Adonai. This is the name that means the ruler God. I want you to listen to this. This is, I'll just turn there for you so you don't have to turn. This is Isaiah. And this is Isaiah chapter 6, okay? Let me get over there to you and I want to read something to you. You may know Isaiah chapter 6 is about. Listen to this. Isaiah is writing, and he said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And by the way, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Are you wondering what name it would be? It's a capital L, little O-R-D. What is he saying? I saw the what? What did he see? The ruler God, the sovereign God of all the world. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on his throne. That makes sense, doesn't it? If he's the L, little O-R-D. And now these angels are flying around with six wings and all this stuff. And he said, boy, I'm in pretty bad shape because I realize I'm a sinner. And one of the angels came and took his hot coal and put it on Isaiah's lips, basically saying, I'm burning off your sin. And now you can speak for God. And then verse 8 says, then I heard the voice of the Lord Adonai. I heard the voice of the sovereign ruler. What's the sovereign ruler of the world going to ask Isaiah to do? He's what he says. Who shall I send and who will go for us? And what did Isaiah said? Send me. Okay, are y'all getting this? I know it's a little deep. I know maybe it's not too deep, right? It's not too deep. Okay, think about it. God, the sovereign ruler, is sitting on his throne and his name is Adonai. And Isaiah is there and the Adonai says to him, who am I supposed to send to go out to all the world that I control? And Isaiah says, send me. So when you see the name God, what could it be? Two different names. What could it be? What could it be? It could be El. No, God. I'm saying the name God. What name could it be? El or Elohim. One is singular, one is plural. The plural one is almost always used for the true God. When you see the name El, little O-R-D, what do you know when you see that name? He's the sovereign ruler of the world. He's the master. He's the controller. He's everything. It's a great name. Okay? We're not through. We got one more name. Here's the next name. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's the Hebrew name YHWH, which is the personal name of God. And I'm going to tell you, before we get into it, Jewish people would never say this name. They don't say the name. In fact, in their writings, when they're quoting Old Testament in English, and they come across this name, instead of writing G-O-D, what do they put? G-blank-D. They won't even put the whole name God there because they're saying, we can't say the holy name. We can't say the personal name. Let me ask you something. Somebody important comes in, and you say, he's the chairman of the, yeah. How are you, Mr.? Yes, sir. Okay. But what if you went, hey, Bob, come on in here, man. That's totally different, isn't it? When you call a guy by his first name, you call anybody by their first name, you call anybody by their personal name, isn't it different? If somebody came up to me and said, hi, Mr. Bond, I'd like to meet, you know, I wanted to meet you. That's different than going, JB, come here. Okay, so the Jewish people said, we can't say to God, hey, how you doing, right? They can't say that. So they say, we have to stand back and we can't even say this name. And it's the personal name of God. Now, I want you to see something. Turn to Exodus 3, okay? Exodus 3. We got a few minutes to do this. That's Old Testament, by the way. Okay? And we're going to see his encounter with the personal God. And I'm going to go through it fairly quickly. But everybody there? Everybody there? Okay. Exodus 3. Now, the Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and the flock was on the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Mount Horeb. By the way, you may know what Mount Horeb is. What's the other name for Mount Horeb? Mount what? Mount Sinai. He's at Mount Sinai. This is long before they ever got the law. This is long before he ever goes over there and brings them all back out and gets the law. He's there, an angel. Look, and the angel of the, what is it? It's what? It's YHWH, isn't it? Is that the name? Y'all look at verse 2. Anybody see it? The angel of the Lord appeared to him in this burning bush. And Moses said, you know, I see this bush burning, but it's not burning up. So I think I'm going to walk over there and see what's happening. And then verse 4 says, when the Lord, all this is the personal name of God. When the Lord saw him, God said to Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. He said, don't come any further. You got to take your shoes off. This is holy ground. And then look what he says. Verse 6, he said to him, I am the, what's the word? God, that's Elohim. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. Look, that's the Elohim, the God of Jacob. Moses kind of hid his face because he is afraid. But the Lord said, look at verse 7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of all your people, all of these things. In verse, so we've seen, he's called, let's see, do I have it up there? No, I don't, okay. Did I have a verse 6 up there a while ago? Go back. This is where he says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's Elohim. But then look what he says in verse 7. And the Lord, the personal name, Moses is speaking to the personal God. And by the way, this name, and let me tell you something, this name comes from the Hebrew name or the Hebrew word Hayah. See, this is Yahweh, Hayah, the same word, different way to put it together. Hayah means I am. It means I am, okay? Now, the name YHWH has an idea of always existing. I am. Watch what happened. So, verse 10, he says, I want you to come now. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you're going to go to the people, and you're going to bring them out. And Moses says, I don't know what to say. Verse 13, Moses said to God, Elohim, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel. I'm going to say to them, the God, Elohim of your fathers, has sent me to you. They may say, what's his name? What am I going to say? God, Elohim, said to Moses, I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. See, the name YHWH has an idea of eternality, of always existing. That's why it's I am. It's not I was or I will be. It's I am. I'm always existing. I am the existing God. Notice down at verse 16, go and say to the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, L-O-R-D, all capitals, the God, Elohim, of your fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared, and I'm sending you to Egypt to bring them out. So when Moses saw God, the personal name of God is, and you could put it this way, you could say the personal name of God is what? I am. I'm always existing. They wouldn't even say it. Next week, we're going to actually see where they came up with the name Jehovah, because they came up with the name Jehovah because they didn't want to say YHWH. And I'll show you how they got that. Do you remember when Jesus was on the earth, and we got just time to say this, you remember when Jesus in John chapter 8, and they came to him, and they were getting on him, and he said something about They don't know who the Father, they don't know anything. And then they said something about Abraham, and he said, oh, Abraham. He said, Abraham was really glad to see me. That's what Jesus said. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He said, Abraham was glad to see me. And they knew exactly what he said. They said, wait a minute. You're not even 50 years old. And you said, you've seen Abraham? Now, Abraham lived how long before Jesus? 2,000 years, okay? So Jesus is actually saying, Abraham was glad to meet me. And they said, you're not 50 years old, and you're saying you're seeing Abraham? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, what did he say? I am. That's the personal name of God. He's saying, I am the personal, eternal, all-existing God. And so when you see those things, I know time is up, so there's a couple of blanks. We'll get those at another time. Let me give you some applications, okay? I want you to think about this. Know and understand the different names of God and the meanings found in the Scripture. I hope this is going to be interesting to you, because to me, this opens up the Scripture, because all of a sudden we're seeing who God really is. Okay, because we always say, well, there's God and there's Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and sometimes somebody's called the Father and somebody's... We want to see who God is. So no one understand it. Second, seek to grow as a believer as we know what God's like based on his names. Think about it. We're going to see God, Elohim, the true God. We're going to see Lord, the master, the ruler of all things. We're going to see L-O-R-D, all capitals, the personal God who knows us and cares about us and who's always existed. When you see L-O-R-D, think of the personal name of God, and he's always existing because he's the I am. He's the I am. And the last but not least, praise God for who he is as revealed in his names.